Correction. Over. 1 day retreat. Buy the dip. Chip stocks let us right out of there. Bunch of earnings. Some good, some not so good. We have a new crowd favorite in cybersecurity, CrowdStrike. Pump and Paul at 10 o'clock. We won't be able to cover that. Martha Stokes, 8:35. Give us a look at some stocks that are perhaps being accumulated. It's Wednesday. It's pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right, quick rundown of the commodities and futures, man. That strong close is parlayed into a strong open, up 24 handles at 51.10, making new highs as we speak. Buck slumping a little bit, down 19 cents, 103.57. Bonds flat here. Good day yesterday, though, trading at 120 and 22 seconds. That's a mouthful. Crude up 88 cents, 79.03. Gold, that's flat, 21.42.30. Silver flat at 23.98. And Bitcoin, holy mackerel. Cleared out some stops yesterday, right back up, back at 67,000, roughly call it, up $4,200. And Triple D, what a tale of two markets yesterday. I mean, some stocks were going down, but others just refused to go down.
This is just a lot of stocks went down. They just refused to stay down. And we saw it in the morning, even yesterday morning, and NVIDIA was trading down significantly in the pre-market, then popped back. Yesterday was stubborn. It finally started to give way in the afternoon. It wouldn't give away, well, not in the afternoon, but late morning. It wouldn't give away off the hop when everything was going down. But then, you know, it slowly started to give way, got down to 835. But what happens? The same thing that continues to happen is that they just come in and they buy the leaders. And if you looked at what happened yesterday, SMCI, a wild, and I mean really wild ride, you know, started the day up at around 11:30, basically fell over 100 points, you know, 130 points from the highs, getting down the 976 area, then buyers reemerged. And by the end of the day, it closed green. It was crazy because we had such a weak day. But let's look at NASA, if we forget the A with Amgen, because obviously it's not an AI stock, but if we look at NVIDIA, AMD, SMCI, all closing green yesterday. That is incredible. On that day, you know, on a day where they were hammering everything, that's an impressive, impressive close for those three stocks. And they continue to move higher here today. So once again, buy the dip, rewarded.
All right, AB, you are lurking in the background there. How you doing on this Wednesday morning here?
I'm good. As you know, thank you to Sam in the chat. Just woke up a few minutes ago, got in right at 8 a.m. in time to start the show for you guys.
No, man, AB is he gets in early, he's man. There. He's early. There. All right, where are we starting out today?
Well, that's a great question. We've got a lot of things. Let's start with CrowdStrike earnings because that was the big news after the bell yesterday. We had a couple other cybersecurity plays report earnings before CrowdStrike that may have helped lower the bar just slightly. Let me get those numbers pulled up on CrowdStrike. We had EPS come in at 89 to 90 cents, beat the 82 cent estimate, and then revenue came in at 902 to 905 million versus 899. That's for Q1 guidance. For Q4, 95 cent EPS versus 82 cent estimate. Sales 845 versus 839. So good guidance, good numbers. And, you know, this stock was one of the stocks that was getting crushed yesterday. I want to say it closed down more than 5% on the day. So people weren't feeling too good about it into the earnings. But clearly after, I mean, you know, I don't know what we're up now, but at one point we were up more than 25%.
It's a huge pop. And we could talk about bars. We talk about this on the show a lot. I mean, we repeat ourselves on the show because those strategies just work. And if you're the first company to report and your earnings are going to be disappointing, it means that you've lowered the bar for the second company. We're talking about Palo Alto Networks. Reported about 10 days ago. Obviously got hit very hard on their earnings. They knocked CrowdStrike down for a day on it and then started to rally it back. Yesterday, they were selling everything. So even a little bit lower bar going in yesterday because it was weak going into the print. overall strong, but recency bias here would say it was weak coming in. Boom, they come out, nothing like the crowd, nothing like the Palo Alto report, pretty much blow it away, and they never stopped. There was a no doubter on this, Joel. They bought it up like $30 the algos, and they just continued to rally it the entire session. There wasn't the chop in this one. This was a gap up, and the gap and go was there.
I think, on this one, I would have been nervous going, after the Palo Alto print. We did have an outlier with another stock, and I meant Okta. Didn't Okta kind of buck the trend? So you're getting you're getting a little separation here, but this is just a great move. Not much I can give you as far as technicals. You're in no man's land. If you feel that you want a potential target on the upside, and I'll say a capital P on that one, 378, and man, they are slinging some volume around. They threw it around this morning, so keep an eye. 378, that's the only number I could give you in a CrowdStrike.
All the cybersecurity stocks, the ones that haven't reported, remember, if you've already reported, we already know the Palo Alto Networks, but they're getting a relief pop on it anyways. It's up $8. Okta's trading higher here. Zscaler is trading higher here. Sentinel One, another one. S is the symbol on that one. It's popping back. So that was really what kickstarted the rally last night, because we were flat to slightly down. CrowdStrike came on, the queue started exploding. Once the queues start exploding, then everybody gets interested here. But it's obviously the tale of two tapes here, because there's a lot of stocks that are struggling here. We'll get and talk Apple here again here in a little bit. Should we continue on the earnings parade, or do you want to go into continued tech talk here?
Well, I just want to say we caught a bid late in the session, Dennis. I mean, we talk about the importance of the open, for strategies, but that closing price, I mean, they just ripped this thing. I guess it's not as evident here in the spider, but I'll pull up the S&P here, and boy, oh boy, I mean, this is it. Just as we were approaching last week's low, I was waiting for last week's low, and I guess other people could look at that. But look at this. This is a 30-minute chart here. So the last hour, half hour of the session really caught a nice bid and continued after hours. We can continue with the tech talk, I think.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, too, and I don't know, how important this is or if it means anything, but just something I noticed was that yesterday's price action on the overall markets and the queues was essentially the exact opposite of Monday. Monday, we were kind of trading up all day long and then had a sell-off like 30 minutes, an hour before the close. Yesterday was the opposite, where we were selling off all day and then had a rally before the close. So maybe that's what's going on right now, is whatever's going, whatever at 3 p.m., just do the opposite of whatever the market's doing.
There's often a retracement. You do see this, and there is statistics behind it, that when you have the day going, one direction, sometimes you do see the reversal in the last 10 to 15 minutes. Reasons for that is you have a lot of day traders in this market, and somebody who's been trading trend all day may actually, take their profits if the stocks are going higher. They actually may cover their shorts if the stocks are going lower. So I think there's a little bit of, day trading skew there, where you sometimes see that last 10 to 15 minutes end of the day reversal. But in this market, we're just also seeing at the end of the day, institutional buying pressure comes in, because a lot of institutions, do their orders on the close. Like, here's the difference. 25 years ago, me and Joel were trading. Institutions were coming in all day, trying to work their orders, doing different things. They go on the close on a lot of these orders now. Reasons, obviously, all your ETFs have to go on the close because they need, the rebalancing prints. But I mean, the institutional flow that isn't ETF related, that's actually active money, goes on the close because they know the liquidity is going to be there. So if you're thinking, there's going to be some dips here, this is a day to buy, you're putting in those closing orders. Those closing orders actually pop up the closing price. So just keep that in mind. When you're in a bull market, a lot of times if you have a weak day, the trend can reverse itself in the last 10 to 15 minutes just because of closing orders that are coming into the book.
Got it. Well, again, yesterday in tech land, we did have a few bright spots, and surprise, surprise, where those bright spots came from the AI world. NVIDIA, SMCI, AMD, all closing in the green. AMD recovering very strongly after that. We talked about the China headline in the morning that the company wouldn't be able to sell some of its AI chips to China. Stock was trading lower. Market didn't care. They said, hey, if you're in AI, we'll buy you up. I mean, these stocks have just shown amazing resilience. It seems like basically any dip out there whatsoever, you want to be a buyer on.
I had this conversation with Dave Lauer yesterday. Just went on his podcast, which will probably come out today. Dave's obviously been on our show lots of times and great guy. And on Let's Talk Markets is his podcast. And you know what? What I was talking about, like he was asking about AMD and they were looking at, you know, valuations, traditional valuations and looking at AMD's, you know, metrics. And, you know, it's trading, you know, with a lot higher PE than NVIDIA. And they're like, well, why? Why would you go buy AMD when it's trading, you know, with a forward multiple? And if we just do, you know, the quick calculations here, for some reason, my pro's not coming up. But, you know, you're looking out, you know, over 50 times earnings on a forward basis where NVIDIA is trading around 35. So it's like, what should be a no-brainer for, you know, NVIDIA over AMD, because, you know, and here's NVIDIA, the leader, and you get the leader cheaper. But I think it's more about, you know, AMD potentially taking market share from NVIDIA. And if you look at the size of the companies, the big difference is when you look at the size of the companies that AMD is such a smaller company, it has a lot more room to potentially grow. It's hard to grow $2 trillion companies here, but the market cap on AMD, only $331 billion. So if you think Lisa Su, and I've always been a big believer in Lisa Su, you know, can, you know, keep, you know, getting in here and potentially take some of NVIDIA's market share, well, maybe, you know, these estimates for AMD might be too light in that case if they get a bigger piece of the pie. We know the pie overall is growing, and maybe there's room for all players while I'm long them both. But again, we've got to consider, one, Lisa Su is just a fabulous, very underrated CEO. Like, think about what Lisa Su has done, you know, Joel, you know, like, AMD, you know, in the gutter, you know, when did Lisa Su take over? And chat could help this out. Like, I wonder, you know, what year that was. But, you know, she's taken AMD from basically a single digit stock to where it is now. And if you compare it to Intel in that same period, it's a fun comparison. 2017, Intel's trading at $35. Here we are, huge bull market. 7 years later, Intel's at 43. AMD in that same time period, going from $15 to $205. I mean, you can thank Lisa Su for a lot of this. They're telling me 2014 she came in. So she came in and turned this company completely around. So I would never bet against Lisa Su. She is smart, so underrated. It's like betting against, there's only one Steve Jobs, but you just think about what he did. I mean, Lisa Su, for what she has done with AMD, she doesn't get nearly enough credit for it. You know, turning this company into the juggernaut that it has become. And when she took over in 2014, like, where was the stock in 2014, Joel? Show the chart.
Oh, I can remember losing $5 on $2 calls in this thing. This traded for so long. 2014, I mean, this thing was at $4. It was at $4. I'm going like March of
$4.
She took
the stock from $4 to $200. That's incredible. And you never hear much about her. We still hear about Steve Jobs all the time. And Steve Jobs, unbelievable. But I'm just saying, what Lisa Su has done is up in that category. What she has done to turn this company around, to basically, you know, take Intel, you know, shake all the market share away from them. And then, you know, coming at NVIDIA near her now. So exactly. I wouldn't bet against her. I'm long it. And I would not bet against her. And if you're looking at this company at $300 billion, if she can, you know, go and start attacking NVIDIA to a certain extent as well here and get in there, and I believe she will, there's a lot more upside in a $300 billion company than there is in a $2 trillion company. There's just that more room to grow.
Before we move on to some more earnings, I mean, we talked about the breadth in the market, right? And we wanted to improve the breadth in different sectors. I mean, KRE ended up green yesterday, right? Also, you had JP Morgan. Full disclosure, I bought JP Morgan during the banking crisis back last April. NYCB, as I said, that closed green. So you see, you know, a little bit of rotation there. KRE green, a shocker. Energy was kind of strong too yesterday. So people talk about improving breadth. Well, you know, they're not super sexy like the chip stocks, but I mean, you did have some nice moves in some other sectors, and that's what we want to see, improving breadth. IWM still struggling to like establish a bid over that. Well, it is above that 50% retracement. I've been looking at this chart forever. So it's sustaining a bid over 203. We'll see if it can actually get more daily lows in that area and move up to higher ground. Not much there on the monthlies.
We do have ADP employment numbers coming out. Looks like we got it. So private sector employment increased by 140,000 versus the 149,000 job estimate. So slightly lighter than expected. But again, the market doesn't care as much about this labor data point as much as it will the economic data that we'll get later in the week with non-farm payrolls.
Friday.
Yeah. Friday will be the big jobs day. Some comments in the chat I saw. I don't know. I got to fact check this, but Easy Mike is saying that Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, and Lisa Su, the CEO of AMD, are cousins. So
that'd
be crazy.
They're two. And I mean, Joel's, you're talking about Lisa Su here, and Jensen Huang obviously has also done an incredible job. Jim Cramer, the day that NVIDIA reported earnings on CNBC, was saying that Jensen Huang is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, that he's who people think that Elon Musk is. And then Lisa Su, I mean, it can't be far behind because, I mean, they're both companies in this growing industry, and then they have great leaders, and it's like hard not to just buy those names and just watch them, And so I know we've been talking about NVIDIA and AMD a lot, but that's really been the story of the market this year. So sorry if you guys are sick of hearing about it. And I saw another comment in the chat I wanted to address from TX Trader, said he bought AMD at 8, sold it at 12. That's great. That's a 50% gainer. You should be proud of that, TX Trader.
I probably bought it at 8 and sold it at 8.50.
That's a winner too. But yesterday, I mean, tech, we were talking about tech, the biggest story of the day yesterday, probably Bitcoin hitting new all-time highs and a very sharp retracement after that. Do you guys remember, by the way, NVIDIA on its big run-up in 2021? I mean, part of the story for NVIDIA was that people were using their chips to mine crypto. You don't really hear about that too much anymore as being a growth driver for NVIDIA.
That was the growth. I mean, even Square, because we can accept, some of these crypto coins on their app. I mean, it's, all these stocks that were, potentially crypto plays are no longer even talked about. And it was such a fraction of their revenue here. But that was a huge driver for NVIDIA for a long time, and AMD. These were like the crypto plays because the crypto was the buzz then. Well, now they're the AI buzz. They're in everything, man. These people are so smart, AMD, NVIDIA. They're in everything. They're in every time. They're probably in a blockchain too back in the day. Who knows?
Yeah, well, speaking of that, I just saw a headline this morning. I don't have it pulled up, so I don't want to butcher it. But I think NVIDIA said something about healthcare is going to be the next driver for NVIDIA. So it's like, whatever it is, whether it's self-driving, robotics, AI, everything. NVIDIA. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible how...
What doesn't have a chip in it? You think it's going to, and we're moving into these AI chips and we're moving into so many other things. But like I said, I turn on my fan and it sits there and it's like, I asked my brother-in-law, I'm like, why does this fan, take like the 2 seconds to start up and kind of goes? And he's like, oh, it's got a chip in it. I was like, my ceiling fan has a chip in it? He's like, yeah, everything has a chip in it. I'm like, holy, he's an electrician. I'm like, ah, this is unbelievable. My ceiling fan has a chip in it. Everything has a chip in it.
Well, you know what doesn't have a chip in it, Dennis?
What?
This quarter zip I'm wearing, which I bought at Nordstrom Rack. Not Nordstrom. I bought it at Nordstrom Rack.
Maybe it does have a chip in it.
I mean,
did you check it?
I'm more of a Nordstrom Rack guy. I don't know about you guys. Do they have that up in Canada, Dennis?
No, they just actually closed all the stores. So yeah, they had the Nordstroms and they were good, but they just actually closed all the stores.
He's asking about the Rack.
The discount Nordstrom store. I don't think we have any Nordstroms anymore. I think they're all
it's
gone.
Like, it's like Nordstrom's
Canadians
version.
Didn't like Nordstrom.
It's like Nordstrom's version of TJ Maxx. You can go get the stuff that didn't sell at the other retailers.
Last year's
stuff. And like, I can go there and honestly, I get like three pairs of work pants for, $100, like $33 each. Like, it's a great, I do love Nordstrom Rack, but either way, Nordstrom reported earnings after the close yesterday. By the way, that was not a plug. Nordstrom is not, advertising us in any way, full disclosure.
they paid us for that, folks.
Yeah.
You paid like, oh, Nordstrom.
Hey, does that, so those 3 days of pants, does that last you the entire work week?
It depends on what type of pants they are. Nordstrom reported EPS of 96 cents, beat by 7 cents, revenue of 4.4 billion, beat by 40 million. But again, the market doesn't really care about these beats if you give weak guidance. And the company did warn that they see sales declining this year. I don't know if that's because people just have a little bit less money to spend. I don't know if that's because my three pants are going to last me through the rest of the year. Either way,
it's because they closed all the Canadian stores and they're going to have less sales because of that. No Canadians helping out anymore.
Yeah, Canadians need to buy clothes too, right?
Yeah.
You know, so we have a few other retail names to talk about, but either way, Nordstrom, one of the bigger ones, trading down 10% this morning. I don't know. I mean, Joel, what's chart saying? Does it look like
we're getting hit. We gave you that resistance yesterday. Didn't get anywhere near that major resistance. You come down, I mean, 50%. You had a big move off the November low. 17. This whole 17. I would wait a couple days, see if I could get this in the 1750 to $18 area. You had the big boys stepping up back there in early February. Haven't got there in the pre-market low here, 1851. So I don't know if you've been waiting to buy this on a dip, this may be your opportunity. Certainly no Macy's, because Macy's had that bid underneath it, but
I'd rather own Macy's than Nordstrom. Like, still in the fast money, would you rather Macy's because there's a potential bid on the table? Nordstrom, no thank you.
Got it. Other retail names that we had reports for: Ross, Dress for Less. That's kind of similar to the Rack.
TJX.
TJX. Ross. Ross reported earnings. We'll go ahead and pull that up. And then Foot Locker this morning as well. Sorry, for some reason, my numbers aren't pulling up here on Ross either. Well, Joel, why don't you give us the chart breakdown while I pull the numbers?
I don't know what the numbers are. We're down 367. Ross Stores making a new all-time high, I believe, at the end of last week, down 367. They saw something they liked initially. The algos took it up to 157.34. Don't know if you're going to be seeing that again. That is an overshoot. You lost the 140. I would say use yesterday's low as resistance, 148.20, if you're trying to sneak out of this trade. And on the dailies, this 144.5, 145 area, you had, three, four, five lows in this area. So if you're looking to buy the dip on this one, that's some potential support there for Ross Stores.
I got the numbers here. So for Q4, let's see. Q1. Okay, so their guidance for Q1 EPS 129 to 135 versus 127 estimates. EPS at 5 for the full year, 564 to 589 versus 540. So strong guidance, strong numbers for the previous quarter as well for Ross. So kind of bucking that trend of Nordstrom. I guess that's showing that people are rather shopping at the discount stores rather than going to the pay full price at Nordstrom right now. And then I mentioned that Foot Locker reported earnings as well this morning. Stock getting kind of hammered, down 10%. Wow. Let's see. Q4 EPS came in at 38 cents, beat the 32 cent estimate. Sales came in at $2.3 billion, beat the $2.27 billion estimate. But that guidance came in a little bit weaker than what the market was anticipating. Again, stock getting hammered, down 10%. People are buying other types of shoes. They're not going to Foot Locker anymore.
Well, it's an unbelievable comeback from where it was. I mean, the stock got down last year to $14. Maybe it just got too cheap and it's come all the way back up here now. But if you're coming in buying Foot Locker at $34 and expecting it to go back to 40s and 45s here, I think you're doing it backwards, because one, the mall-based retailers still are not doing well. What do you do when stocks are in eternal downtrends? And that's what Foot Locker has been. 2017, $77. 2023 hit 14. What do you do when you get those 100% pops in a few months? You take your money and run. Otherwise, the market takes it for you. So I think still Foot Locker, overall downtrend. Seems like rallies are always to be sold longer term in this stock. And that's what we're seeing here today. So the earnings were fine, but they're finding something they don't like.
27.96 marks your pre-market low. So you've already got a $2 bounce in there. And once again, a cluster of lows here at the $28 area. So if in fact you get back down there at the two and a quarter, I'd look at that area. Not much as far as a retracement from that low. That would take you closer to the $24 area and fill the gap. But I just want to mention something that we talked about a little bit on the pre-market show. And sure, what you're seeing in a lot of these stocks, almost everyone that we pulled up with bad earnings, they have these spikes down and then boom, they're just snapped up. And we were talking about it. It's not necessarily people, I got to take long, I got to buy the, it's people that are jammed on the short side. I mean, I looked at some of these charts, man. If I was short, what would AMF went down to 126? I mean, why wouldn't you have layered bids all the way down, bigger size going all the way down? Come and get me. Especially if you're short, you're dead meat on this
set. You know why you don't have your bid sitting out there? Because it stops the stock. If you're short the stock and you're putting bids out there, it gives it support. ANF is thin. You bid like a couple hundred shares, and all of a sudden the algo's like, oh, we have buyers coming to the market here now, and then they lift the offer on you. It's tricky. I mean, to trade these moves, and, sometimes we don't often talk about, the liquidity in these moves. It's one thing when you have a stock like Apple moving like this. There's size there. There's trading. I mean, ANF has traded 372,000 shares, so it has traded some stocks. So maybe you could have got some off. But on those initial moves on a lot of these things, it's on light volume. So then you're like, okay, well, now you have somebody coming in and they're trying to work a trade out. And then the algos do sense it. Like when you start trying to buy something, the algos sense it and they want to lean on you. They want to come in. You throw your bid, they'll bid a little bit higher. You throw your bid up too high, they take the offer on you, because they want you to pay up. I mean, that's the one thing with execution styles. And, we did a course on this over at premarketprep.com before. I've been executing orders for a long time. You have to be very careful with how you're putting your orders in, because you can push the price away from you. Like you're trying to buy it and you're like, why does it keep going higher? Well, in some cases, and again, this doesn't apply to like SoFi or thick stocks. It's applying when you're trading in thinner markets. And in thinner markets, your order, even if it's 100 shares, can push price. Believe me, it does.
And that 5-minute bracket, it did trade 40,000 shares when it went from 141.11 to 126. Yep. So you couldn't, but if you would have had to have a bunch of little, auto bids, very small ones on the way down. Like if you were short, 10,000, well, good luck getting out of something like that. But this stock has just had a historic run. Just quick technicals, new all-time high yesterday. Right now, in the regular session, before you get your scalpel out on the short side, the highest low it ever made was yesterday at 134.87. Take a look at that. See if it holds that. If so, the uptrend continues. All-time closing high and all-time high yesterday, that was made at 139.95. That was the closing high. All-time high, 140.28 for ANF.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this chart, I think it'd be really easy for a lot of traders to look at it and say, oh my God, this is too much, too fast. But we talked about this with SMCI, that some of these rallies that may look like, meme stock rallies or, just crazy charts, but they're not all created equal. Some are backed in fundamentals, some aren't. Abercrombie and Fitch, I mean, even with its big price increase in share price, its forward PE right now is 22, which is probably expensive for its industry, for a retail brand, but it's not crazy expensive to where you would like look at this chart. I would probably would have guessed it was higher based on Abercrombie and Fitch. And same thing with SMCI, that you had this big run up, but there were fundamentals to back it at least somewhat, to the point where when you got that drawdown, then at 800, you had buyers coming in and say like, okay, well, the fundamentals here, I can justify buying at 800. Verse, not to pick on anyone or anything, but verse maybe a GameStop or AMC where you had these big run-ups and not really a lot of fundamentals to back it up. So it's just something to think about when you see these charts. It's not as simple as just saying, oh my God, this is too much too fast, I'm gonna short it or I'm gonna sell it, because sometimes the market is pricing these things in, and other times, again, there's not really much to price in. All right. Well, do you guys want, I did want to talk a little bit more about Bitcoin. I mean, when it hit the new all-time highs, because I've always thought, I'm not a big technical charts guy, but I've always thought when you break the previous high, that's like a bullish sign. And there may have been people, I don't think a lot of investors, hodlers were waiting for it to hit its high to buy it, but maybe some traders were thinking, okay, if this hits its high, then it's going to keep running. And obviously it's not what you saw.
I mean, it's just too far up too fast. So when you go from 42,000 up to like 69,000 in the better part of like a few weeks, which is really what we did, when it gets that old all-time high, it's just technical resistance, you know. And just because we breach it by, you know, a few dollars doesn't really mean it's totally breached. I mean, and you look at, you know, the chart there in the longer term in the bottom right, I mean, there's just major resistance, multiple highs up there, 21, 22, 23. So you've come so far. It's a logical spot for it to pause. Now, it's an unbelievable reversal and sell-off that I had yesterday, and almost just as much as an unreversible buy, like that they come back and they buy it up back quickly here. So the volatility here is nothing short of incredible. I'm still long on my Bitcoin. I didn't sell it. I'm hodling it in the background. I honestly don't even really look at it. Maybe I should look at it because maybe I could have sold it and rebought it, but I'm not a crypto trader. Oh, I'm an equities trader. I'm a hodler.
The number it gave yesterday on the closing print, and I'm just basis the futures here, the all-time closing high, 68,480. That's not a bad number. Today you did get up to 68,150, so I'd like to see a new all-time closing high. I mentioned I was keeping an eye on the open interest. You did have some long liquidation yesterday. The open interest dropped by 1,000 contracts in that fully margin contract. S&P's, we just hit a new high at 14.25. We've already got back half of the move from that all-time high on Monday to the dip right near yesterday's low. So that number, that key number to just for today, or moving forward, I guess, to 1050 is halfway back. So if you're looking at some of your stocks, you bought the dip yesterday, you know, take a look at that or see what your high was on Monday and give that a comparison if you're looking for a shorter term trade.
I mean, if you're a tech trader, you know, and you get these snapback rallies here, why not? I mean, why not, you know, flip them out sometimes and, you know, like buy, if you're buying the dip and you're lucky enough to buy them near the bottom yesterday and it wants to give you a 4 or 5% pop overnight on your stock. Sometimes it's a good idea to take that. I don't think we just rally back. Like, it was a pretty violent sell-off yesterday and you caught some people. So I just don't think we just rally back to all-time highs here on the Qs. I think there's some backing and filling to do here. So I think I'm with you, Joe. Maybe it takes some profits into this a little bit. Think about even on the Qs. 440 was resistance before we broke out. Then we just cut through like a hot knife through butter yesterday. Maybe we get up back up to 440, which is basically where we're just underneath it right now. We start to stall out here again. And remember, the leadership, you know, the big mega caps, Apple is in the gutter. It's hardly bouncing at all here. 171. Tesla is down again on the day. You know, Google, we're just going through some of the mega caps, is just can't find its way here either. There's a lot of major mega cap heavy components that have actually broken down. It's the other stocks that are picking up the slack, but I mean, the other stocks can only pick up the slack for so long. When Apple's 6% and Tesla's 1.5% and Google's, you know, 3 or 4% of the S&P here, you're talking over 10% of the index that just can't seem to find its way. It's something to consider. So I think some profit taking here is prudent.
All right. Well, we do have Martha Stokes from Technotrader hanging out backstage. She's been hanging out for a second. Got in early with us today. Love to see nice. That. So without further ado, let's go ahead and give Martha our very special pre-market prep welcome and see what she's been watching when we come back. Martha Stokes, welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep. Hope you're having a good Wednesday so far. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Yeah, I get up pretty early. I do the Pacific side, and it's at 3 a.m. that I'm checking the markets and stuff, which I've done for 26 years now. So we're good to go. Very interesting what's going on. What I want to remind everyone is I'm from the buy side. I'm a retired buy side professional. So I'm viewing things from the hidden part of the market. You're on the retail side, and you're giving excellent information to your people. I'm sure you have a wide following because of the excellence of your work. So my perspective is a little different. I do want to remind you that the gap ups that open are caused by high frequency traders. They front run the retail side of the market, which is your public exchanges. So anytime you have a huge gap up at open or gap down, that is caused by the HFTs filling the queues with thousands of millisecond orders that are small lots. And it moves the computers that open the market, their pricing structure down or up according to that huge flow. Now, the reason this is allowed is the exchanges need liquidity. And so this is what happens. So if you're trading a stock and it's gapping up or down hugely, what you want to do is make sure that you get in before the gap. And there are ways of seeing that on the charts so that you can enjoy the ride rather than trying to chase it. I always try to tell my professionals and my retail traders, don't chase the stock and don't expect it to continue up or down, but to follow and see when you're going to see that activity, because the professional traders are hidden from the, mostly some of them trade the public exchanges, and you'll see their activity. End of day, you want to remember that if there's professionals trading the market on the retail side, they have their special auction 3 minutes before the close. So there's going to be a lot of changes on that you'll see that you need to be aware of. If you're a day trader, that you're going to have your professionals taking their profits and closing out on that day, 3 minute spin that they have on the public side. On the dark pool side, what we're looking for to come next is what are the institutions buying now for next first quarter earnings season that starts in another month. So we're looking at trying to see what they're buying. We see a lot of speculation. I'd say the HFTs, I have a group of scans that I check everything, and I've had this for over 20 years or 25 years now that I use, and I give this to my students. And what I'm doing here is I'm not looking at just the indexes. The indexes give you information on the 30 Dow, on the 100 NASDAQ, and the
That's a lot.
100, yeah. So I'm analyzing all 6,000 stocks and some ETFs on this basis. And what I'm doing is I'm saying, what is the momentum to the buy side versus what is the momentum to the sell side? And then that gives me the bias of the market, the broad spectrum of market rather than indexes. Right now, the broad market is moving in an opposing direction to the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500. They collapsed yesterday. But the underlying power behind this, which is the buy side institutions and their trillions and trillions, $100 trillion of assets worldwide, they were buying and they were buying on their ATS venues. So you didn't see it on the public exchanges. What you see at the end of the day with all that activity in the last 10 to 15 minutes, smaller funds managers, there's about 10,000, 15,000 of them, give or take. They go out of business a lot. They're actively trading. And they can trade 50,000 or 100,000 share lots. So it seems like it's a dark pool, but it isn't. The dark, when I checked on my professionals, they were all bidding somewhere between 1 million and 5 million lots on a lot of stocks. And they were on the buy side again, because they're expecting the bounce, that little buy on the dip that you guys mentioned earlier today. So yeah, you're right in line with what's happening. But behind the scenes, this is being conducted behind the scenes. And I look at institutional activity, what's going on there. Yesterday, they were slowing down. I'm pausing to wait to see just how far will it go, if it's going to drop into their buy zone, or if it's really going to collapse, and then they're going to have a bargain, and then they're going to move in. So you got to watch that, because that's part of the reversals that happen. You also want to look at, I look at the bottoming stocks, because the dark pools create the bottoms. As the stock runs down and they see that it's a bargain price, then they'll come in at a certain price and start buying very carefully, very slowly, not to disturb price, but they actually slow down that rundown. And that's something that you want to pay attention to. I also look at the consolidation stocks, because pro traders trade on the penny spread. Floor trading is expanding. It's not contracting. The SEC is very concerned about AI. So on the professional side, it's very limited what you can do. You do have AI for routing. You have AI for multi-leg strategies, because they can trade as many as 10 different legs. So they might buy 5 million shares of a stock, and then they have all these other legs that they can add, bonds or cryptocurrencies or whatever they want to add to that, to mitigate the risk and the control and manage their risk. So they can make profits on most of those legs, or they can just mitigate the risk if the stock goes in a different direction. But you have to remember that your professional traders are extremely talented and very, very smart, and their rate of success is 90%.
Martha, I just want to hop in here. You just gave us a lot of great information. Man, I'm looking at a ton of information here that you have in front of us. Could you just like kind of give us like an incremental step, like maybe one, how you have them organized, or does the activity in the market organize them? And also, without giving away the secret sauce, like the columns that you're looking at and how you prioritize them?
Yes. Okay. We have the first one is how many stocks move with strong momentum to the upside versus how many stocks moved with strong momentum to the downside. And we can see that there was also some green percent change. So at the end of the day, professional traders or smaller funds were buying and moving that price up. That alters the open for the next day. This tells me how the broad base of stocks are going to move, not necessarily indexes. This is one for looking for dark pools. Where they are, what are they buying? I have the institute. I have the different industries here that I can click on, and I can see where they are, what they're buying, what they're not buying. I also, this is another one for the institutions looking at the industries, seeing what they're buying. The smaller funds are selling biotech, but the giants are buying biotech, and it's very important to understand that. The smaller funds are selling software. The dark pools are buying software. So they're buying into the, and they're providing the buy side of it. And then we have the consolidations, which is the professional traders. They do a penny spread. They're very competitive. I've been on their floors, and they all want to hit the penny spread. They want their routing to go and go snap. And it's milliseconds. So you're 60,000 times a minute, trading so much faster than you are. And you have to remember that when you're on the retail side, that as soon as you start typing in your broker, whatever order you want, they're automatically seeing that. As soon as your order is clicked, they are sending it in the millisecond to a payment for order flow or a market maker. Very few of the retail brokers are now filling orders because they've been slammed so much by the SEC for making sure that it's fair and orderly in the pricing structure. It comes back in the millisecond. So by the time you're there, it's all of a sudden you're miraculously super fast, but it's even faster on the professional side. So be aware of that. We have the scan that says, okay, are we going into a bear market? Are we going into an intermediate term correction? Nope. This is just a brief sell down because of a void. We had a void happen yesterday. What happened is a lot of retail investors and retail traders either stopped buying or they ran out of capital. Or they're waiting because they're a little uncertain. Maybe there was some sort of news out there, something that was causing them to be concerned. So we have a void. Whenever there's a void, there's going to be a favor of a downside. How far it goes depends on where the buy side institutions have their quiet little orders on the ATS venues. You can't see. None of that's on the public exchanges during the day. You have to wait until after the market is closed to go on that. So they're waiting there. And if they see it's running down rapidly, they may pause those orders and wait to see how far it goes because they're bargain hunters. They buy the stocks at the best price they can. Then you have the final one is how many stocks moved improved price over the prior day. And that gives me a lot of information. So it's a very, I've had it for years. I don't bother to track what's going on, but my students do. And they say I have a 95 to 99% accuracy rate at calling the market open, which I give them every day. I write it open. That's what I'm doing at 3 o'clock is I'm writing the market open report and the market condition reports for them.
Martha, what about the price action in Apple here? I mean, we all know the news. We all know about selling less iPhones in China. We all know about the $2 billion fine. But this is a story.
Okay. Apple has reached what is called market saturation. And you can only enhance something so much before it just stops. Market saturation is when you have 80 to 85% of all the people who will buy your product have bought the product and they've bought enhancements. And all of a sudden you hit market saturation. There hasn't been anything really new coming out of Apple for a while. They're late getting into AI. And you can see that you have a high peak here. This is a reverberation peak saying that they reached market saturation. And then they collapsed down, but they recovered slowly because a lot of people say, oh, this is a bargain price. I'm going to buy this. But now you have a far lower peak and a lower peak, and it hasn't passed through to the trough. And this trough was not deep enough to be a full-blown cycle. We're looking at the business cycle of Apple. A business cycle of Apple is in the market decline phase, And then it needs to go to the reinvention phase. If you know anything about product cycle, I teach that in my courses. It needs to go into the reinvention phase. They have to come up with something new. They need to do a Steve Jobs miraculous, amazing rebirth of Apple, not enhancements, not running, coming in late to a high technology situation they should have been in years ago, because AI is not new. We've been working on getting AI to the point that it is now for 8 years. So I wrote my first thing about AI 6 years ago. I have virtual courses that I teach on that, on all the new technologies and it's burgeoning. I mean, there's going to be more, and then there's going to be all these little side companies that come along and fix the AI, because AI, one, can't add or subtract computationally. Computers do that excellently, but AI doesn't. AI has a problem where it is going along and it's learning all this stuff, and then all of a sudden it just goes and it can't remember a thing, and it's lost all of that previous stuff that it had. So these have to be fixed. These are programming problems that have to be fixed. So one thing that you not all want to be aware of is that the semiconductor companies are going to really be strong. You know that, you've said that, and I agree with it. But you also have to remember companies that are actually using AI in their programs for their customers, like CRM, Microsoft, and things like that. You have to be aware that they have to be very careful, because if that AI crashes, that's going to be a problem for their customers. Their customers are going to be very upset. Google has major problems with this AI and its advertising, and it's struggling because of that, because millions of small businesses that use those ads, as well as the large companies, are having problems. Last week, they had this huge problem that occurred with the AI system that they have right now. So Google is struggling, and it's going to show up in its revenues and earnings and that type of thing if it doesn't get it fixed. So you have to have these things fixed. AI is great and wonderful, but it's got a ton of problems, and they have to be fixed. It's like Microsoft MS-DOS all over, Microsoft Windows all over again, where there had to be other companies that came in and fixed the product because it was full of bugs. The same thing's happening now.
Martha, we just are kind of wrapping up at least some of the biggest names of the earnings season. NVIDIA, of course, reported a couple weeks ago. It was kind of the tail end of the big tech names. But, you know, when looking at the market, looking ahead to the next earnings season, what are you seeing from the dark pools and from, you know, kind of what the institutional traders are doing?
Okay, what I'm looking for is quiet accumulation. I want to find out where they believe the fundamental values are. There's speculation right here. And so what I'm watching is, are the dark pools going to continue to buy? Because right now they're pausing on NVIDIA. AMD, you talked about that earlier, and I agree that they have a fantastic CEO. We know that the fundamentals before the earnings season was right here. And you can always see the fundamentals in the charts. And you also have, I have other fundamentals that are line indicators that I can show you next time that confirm the technical analysis of this. But one of my specialties is being able to identify fundamental levels, because the market is fundamental. And if you lose, so we're a little outside of those fundamentals right now. So what I'm watching to see is if dark pools start once again resuming activity, and whether they're going to start accumulating again, or if they're going to say, no, nope, this is the fundamental level. That will factor into the next earnings season. So right now, the big thing is to watch for where the dark pools are quietly accumulating, continuing to accumulate, have paused, and are waiting to see a little bit further. But they already know what those earnings are going to be. We're in almost the middle of, early March, but they already know. They have a good idea. We have January, February, and part of March. We have the CFO and CEO talking to the giant institutions and telling them where the projections and what the expectations are for the revenue. So they already know what's going on. They know well in advance. So once they know that, they'll establish their buy zones, and they'll get that set up and get ready to go. And then wait, because the retail side is going, and HFTs and pro traders are going to push the price for them. They establish the price range, and then it's like your famous gurus on the retail side. Oh, guess what? I bought the stock. Then everybody buys the stock afterwards. So the buy side institutions, they do the same. The giants, they're real quiet about what they're doing. They kind of hide what they're doing, and they slip it in. You really have to know what you're looking at on the chart to see them. And you have to use really strong indicators that indicate uptick versus downtick activity. are the giant lots on the buy side or the sell side. And because they don't move price, it just stays still, contrary to popular opinion on the retail side. So they wait and they buy all the shares they want or rotate out all the shares they want. And then they kind of let everybody know, hey, yeah, we were smaller funds. Guess what? We were buying the stock. We think it's a pretty good stock. And so they kind of reveal where they have been in buying and they wait for everybody else to move it up, just like the famous gurus do. Famous gurus will buy the stock and then they'll tell everybody, oh, we're, this is a good buy, or, oh, I am in the stock. And of course, everybody's going to buy it. They're going to move the price. And yeah, the institutions do the same thing. It's not manipulation of the market, but it is a method of getting price to move without taking any risk.
Yeah. Well, Martha, I mean, we appreciate you coming on. We love having you on. The chat loves you too. PJ Shannon saying best guest ever. That's high praise. If you guys want more from Martha, hit that QR code on the screen or the link in the description. Some free mini courses. Martha, if you want to talk a little bit more about those courses, and then we are running up on the clock here, so got to do it briefly.
Okay, real briefly, what we do is we actually have a mini course that you can take. It doesn't take very long to go through. It shows you how we educate, how we take the process of learning, because it's really important. I'm focused primarily on professionals and semi-professionals, people who are very serious. It's a boutique educational format. You're going to be learning like a professional, so you got to be prepared for that. It's not for people who just want to have fun as a hobby trader. It's for people who are very serious. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, have a great day, Martha.
All right, guys, again, that was Martha Stoke from Technotrader. Link is in the description, or you can hit that QR code up on the screen. All right, let's get back to it. We got about 8 minutes left. Of course, the big story of the day will be Jerome Powell testifying to Congress at 10 a.m., see what he's been saying. But before we talk some Powell, I did want to get to some Tesla news. Tesla down more than 2% in today's pre-market action. Been one of the laggards on the street the past few weeks. Caught a downgrade from Morgan Stanley from Adam Jonas, who's usually pretty good in the car space. I want to say, let me go ahead and pull up the exact numbers. Okay, price target from 345 to 320. So they maintained an overweight, but went from 345 to 320. Tesla struggling here, and I mean, you know, it probably will move based on what Powell's saying too, because I think what you're seeing is these companies that aren't doing well with higher interest rates versus companies like Nvidia, AMD, where the higher interest rates don't matter because you got so much demand, versus a company like Tesla, where the higher interest rates are really hurting the stock.
It's and you're breaking down a new lows here, 175. I mean, we're going to challenge that. This chart looks terrible. The core business is trouble. I still like the humanoid story. I think there's going to be a story, and I think there's going to be a nice buying opportunity here. I actually hope this thing continues to go down, because I think the humanoid story is going to be real here. But wouldn't it be nice to pick up Tesla like $100 or something and get that humanoid story with it? I don't think that's happening. I don't think it's going to go that low. And I do think, like, we got to be thinking about, you know, again, when it's going down, maybe wait for that consolidation, you know, and you start to get some support area there before just being a hero and trying to catch the falling knife. But this stock here is, you know, in some trouble. And again, it's separation here. You know, we talked about the Magnificent Seven all year last year, and Tesla really wasn't participating in the back half of the year. And now it's leading the charge on the downside, pun kind of intended. We got Apple, Tesla, and Google are apparently on the outs. You have Nvidia that's just, you know, holding up everything still. And then, you know, there's the other ones. Meta's been pretty good too, and Amazon as well. Those have held up well. But, and then who did I forget? Who's the other Magnificent Seven, Joel? I said six.
Amazon.
No, I got Amazon, Meta, and Nvidia holding up the fort. Google, Apple, and Tesla are on the outs. Oh, Microsoft. Microsoft's been holding up.
Yeah, Mr. Softy. Yeah.
Yeah. Until yesterday. Microsoft's candle a little concerning yesterday. So I want to talk technicals on two stocks, Tesla and Microsoft.
Okay, Tesla is easy. There's only one number in here for Tesla, and that's last month's low here at 175.01. You're still 240 away from that. Can't really use the monthlies after that, because your next monthly low is 158.83. Really wait to get this. It shows a strong bid above 200. That's a halfway, that 50% retracement. And Microsoft, bad day yesterday, a little bit of a rebound, but I don't think this is overall bad for the market. I would be looking at three lows in the same area in Mr. Softy. Oop, I just moved my line where I wanted it. And that comes in at the 398 area. So, man, that's now $7-$8 away. I don't know if you're going to get a shot at that low, but there's your good support in Mr. Softy.
Here's a fantastic point being made in the chat on Tesla, which I didn't consider. Just trying to go grab where it was. Talking about that, apparently Kramer last night. I didn't watch Kramer last night, but he was playing hockey actually, so it's gone. The chat scrolled away from it now, so I can't find it. But yes, so SCTY saying, I think Kramer said last night if Trump is elected, the tax credits may be gone. I mean, there's a fantastic point there because we know Trump obviously had a very good Super Tuesday. We haven't talked about that yet. He obviously looks like he's going to be the candidate on the other side. If Trump is elected, and this is if, I'm not saying he's going to be elected, but if he is, this is not good news for Tesla. It's not good news for any company that's, you know, dependent on government subsidies. So, you know, I never really thought about that far out here yet, but that is concerning, you know, and I'm not saying it's selling off because of that. There's obviously other news here today, but it's a good point that maybe, you know, we've got to consider how much government subsidies have helped Tesla as well. And if those, you know, were to potentially go away, say, next year, does that look like for Tesla?
Well, Kramer might have said that last night, but I saw a headline this morning that Musk and Trump reportedly met in Florida about a potential campaign donation. So I don't know how this stuff works.
He's already... So Musk is ahead of us on this.
Yeah, but I have a hunch. I just have a hunch that if Musk makes a big donation, and again, he's not the richest man in the world anymore. Bezos overtook Musk, but he's up there. If he makes a big donation to Trump, I have a hunch that those tax credits won't be going away. And who knows? Maybe there'll be even more incentives for Tesla. So that will be a storyline to watch.
There you go.
But I
mean, he's already ahead of it. Musk is so smart. He's already ahead of us. He's ahead of pre-market prep too.
The flip side to that, though, is if Musk makes a big donation to Trump, does that hurt sales on the other side from people that are upset by that? I mean, you look at who buys EVs in states like California, New York, etc. I mean, you know, I think a lot of environmentally conscious people might lean left politically. And so who knows? I mean, it'll definitely be a story to watch either way, what happens with Trump.
Under the table donation. Under the table donation. Here's a briefcase of money.
Yeah. Do it through one of, like, you know, the shell company. Like it was, you know, Solar City made a donation, not Musk.
Solar City.
Solar City.
We got 2 minutes left. I mean, again, the biggest story of the day is going to be Powell at TED. I mean, do you guys have any predictions, any you know, thoughts on how the market might be trading into his testimony?
I think the market just wants anything dovish, you know, any type of like dovish comment. I do think we're starting to see some separation, and I'll say, and I'll go on there. I think the TLT is bottom. So I think they'll pull back in the TLT. Yeah, and I'm saying it again. Obviously bottom back at 82, 81, but I think it just made another short-term bottom here again. We're starting to round up. I think unless we see inflation just start to ramp up again and we can't control it, I think long-term rates are telling you that short-term rates are probably going down. So we've seen peak rates here. So now you start thinking about, well, what benefits from interest rates actually going down? And one, all those regional banks that are in trouble are going to benefit tremendously. Solar companies that have been, you know, really hit hard will benefit as well. But then, you know, everything in the IWM. So the question is, do we see, you know, once we start talking about the interest rate cuts, and they're going to start talking about it soon, even if it's 2 months away, they're going to start talking about it. Do we start to see an outperformance in the IWM over the QQQ? Because everybody is hit in mega cap tech for the last number, you know, a couple of years because of the rate environment. We know Apple hasn't been impacted. People were buying their phones. There was still 0% financing on phones like we talked about, Joel. So, you know, sometimes the bigger picture, just, you know, grabbing that bigger picture allows you to trade better. And I mean, this environment that we're going into, which has been very good for Apple, because obviously they could still do 0% financing on the phones and people were still buying their little luxury item. All of a sudden, you know, maybe some other stuff starts to open up. So maybe we start to get away from that concentration of just being in these magnificent seven and the market does broaden out. And maybe we see some IWM outperformance here coming. Maybe we see solar bounce back in the back half. Trump's going to be a wild card there as well, though. And then, you know, maybe we see, you know, some of these regional banks, which have just been in the absolute gutter, start to show some life here. So maybe this is the time to start doing a little bit of reallocation, which my portfolio is very tech heavy. Maybe we should reallocate a little bit and start thinking about some of this stuff that hasn't participated for the last couple of years. And I challenge the chat, give us some names. What do you like outside of tech? What do you like in a lower interest rate environment or in an environment where interest rates are start going down? Give us some symbols. Tweet at me too. I'm at Triple D Trader. You can see my Twitter handle on the screen. I want to know some different ideas because you know what? I wouldn't mind diversifying a little bit out of tech.
All right, we're wrapping things up as we make new highs of the session. Just like that, we're back at the intraday high from yesterday at 2150. I was pulling up when you were talking about the different sectors. If you're trading this XBI, man, you have quad top or make it a quintuplet top here at like the 103, 103.50 area. So if you're looking for another move higher, keep an eye on that. That's a nice, nice consolidation after a move up in the XBI. As far as Powell goes, I mean, data dependent, you know, we'll see. I agree with you on the rates. I don't think we're going higher. Not necessarily think we can really predict when the next cut is going to be. I'm just looking at stability and rates and, you know, some of these banks to figure out like how bad their loans actually are. But great show today. Thank you to Martha Stokes for coming on Pre-Market Prep, giving us a look at the institutional side. And thanks to everyone in the chat. Great comments today. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, again, Powell will be on in an hour. I can't get inside his head, but I have to imagine that they've made so much progress on inflation. I can't imagine he's too thrilled seeing Bitcoin at all-time highs. He's saying, what do we got to do? I mean, that might be in the back of his head. But either way, live trading will start up here in a few minutes. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. as always. Make sure to smash the like if you have not already. We've got like over 2,000 people in here today. We should see those likes get up a little bit higher. And then, yeah, make sure to stay tuned tomorrow, 8 a.m. Be there or be square.